and in the morning I put on my clothes again, and looking about to see which way I should go, I found a tract covered with trees, and when I had walked round it, I found that I was upon a small island in the midst of the sea, upon which I said within myself, "Every time that I escape from one calamity, I fall into another that is worse." But while I was reflecting upon my unfortunate case, and wishing for death, I beheld a vessel bearing a number of men. I arose immediately, and climbed into a tree, and lo, the vessel came to the shore, and there landed from it 10 black slaves bearing axes. They proceeded to the middle of the island, and digging up the earth, uncovered and lifted up a trapdoor, after which they returned to the vessel, and brought from it bread and flour, and clarified butter and honey, and sheep, and everything that the wants of an inhabitant would require, continuing to pass backward and forward between the vessel and the trapdoor, bringing loads from the former and entering the latter, until they had removed all the stores from the ship. They then came out of the vessel with various clothes of the most beautiful description, and in the midst of them was an old sheik, enfeebled and wasted by extreme age, leading by the hand a young man cast in the mould of graceful symmetry, and invested with such perfect beauty as deserved to be a subject for proverbs. He was like a fresh and slender twig, enchanting and captivating every heart by his elegant form. The party proceeded to the trapdoor, and entering it, became concealed from my eyes. They remained beneath about 2 hours or more, after which the sheik and the slaves came out, but the youth came not with them, and they replaced the earth, and embarked, and set sail. Soon after, I descended from the tree, and went to the excavation. I removed the earth, and entering the aperture, saw a flight of wooden steps, which I descended. And at the bottom I beheld a handsome dwelling-place, furnished with a variety of silken carpets, and there was the youth sitting upon a high mattress, with sweet-smelling flowers and fruits placed before him. On seeing me, his countenance became pale, but I saluted him and said, "Let thy mind be composed, O my master, thou hast nothing to fear, for I am a man, and the son of a king, like thyself. Fate hath impelled me to thee, that I may cheer thee in thy solitude." The youth, when he heard me thus address him, and was convinced that I was one of his own species, rejoiced exceedingly at my arrival. His colour returned, and desiring me to approach him, he said, "O my brother, my story is wonderful. My father is a jeweller. He had slaves who made voyages by his orders, for the purposes of commerce, and he had dealings with kings, but he had never been blessed with a son, and he dreamt that he was soon to have a son, but one whose life would be short, and he awoke sorrowful. Shortly after, in accordance with the decrees of God, my mother gave birth to me, and my father was greatly rejoiced. The astrologers, however, came to him and said, 'Thy son will live 15 years. His fate is intimated by the fact that there is in the sea a mountain called the Mountain of Lodestone, whereon is a horseman and a horse of brass, on the former of which is a tablet of lead suspended to his neck. And when the horseman shall be thrown down from his horse, thy son will be slain. The person who is to slay him is he who will throw down the horseman, and his name is King Ajib, the son of King Kasib.' My father was greatly afflicted at this announcement, and when he had reared me until I had nearly attained the age of 15 years, the astrologers came again and informed him that the horseman had fallen into the sea, and that it had been thrown down by King Ajib, the son of King Kasib. On hearing which, he prepared for me this dwelling, and here left me to remain until the completion of the term, of which there now remain 10 days. All this he did from fear lest King Ajib should kill me." When I heard this, I was filled with wonder, and said within myself, I am King Ajib, the son of King Kasib, and it was I who threw down the horseman. But by Allah, I will neither kill him nor do him any injury. Then said I to the youth, Far from thee be both destruction and harm, if it be the will of God. Thou hast nothing to fear. I will remain with thee to serve thee, and will go forth with thee to thy father, and beg of him to send me back to my country, for the which he will obtain a reward. The youth rejoiced at my words, and I sat and conversed with him until night, when I spread his bed for him, and covered him, and slept near to his side. And in the morning I brought him water, and he washed his face, and said to me, May God requite thee for me with every blessing. If I escape from King Ajib, I will make my father reward thee with abundant favours. Never, I replied, may the day arrive that would bring thee misfortune. I then placed before him some refreshment, and after we had eaten together, we passed the day conversing with the utmost cheerfulness. I continued to serve him for 9 days, and on the 10th day the youth rejoiced at finding himself in safety, and said to me, O my brother, I wish that thou wouldst in thy kindness warm for me some water, that I may wash myself and change my clothes, for I have smelt the odour of escape from death in consequence of thy assistance. With pleasure, I replied, and I arose and warmed the water. After which he entered a place concealed from my view, and having washed himself and changed his clothes, laid himself upon the mattress to rest after his bath. He then said to me, Cut up for me, O my brother, a watermelon, and mix its juice with some sugar. So I arose, and taking a melon, brought it upon a plate, and said to him, Knowest thou, O my master, where is the knife? See, here it is, he answered, upon the shelf over my head. I sprang up hastily and took it from its sheath, and as I was drawing back, my foot slipped, as God had decreed, and I fell upon the youth, grasping in my hand the knife, which entered his body, and he died instantly. When I perceived that he was dead, and that I had killed him, I uttered a loud shriek, and beat my face, and rent my clothes, saying, This is indeed a calamity. O my Lord, I implore thy pardon, and declare to thee my innocence of his death. Would that I had died before him. With these reflections I ascended the steps, and having replaced the trapdoor, returned to my first station, and looked over the sea, where I saw the vessel that had come before approaching, and cleaving the waves in its rapid course. Upon this, I said within myself, Now will the men come forth from the vessel, and find the youth slain, and they will slay me also. So I climbed into a tree, and concealed myself among its leaves, and sat there till the vessel arrived and cast anchor, when the slaves landed with the old sheikh, the father of the youth, and went to the place and removed the earth. They were surprised at finding it moist, and when they had descended the steps, they discovered the youth lying on its back, exhibiting a face beaming with beauty, though dead, and clad in white and clean clothing, with the knife remaining in his body. They all wept at the sight, and the father fell down in a swoon, which lasted so long that the slaves thought he was dead. At length, however, he recovered and came out with the slaves, who had wrapped the body of the youth in his clothes. They then took back all that was in the subterranean dwelling to the vessel and departed.